Our scripture this evening is taken from two different places. First of all, from Psalm 139, the first 12 verses. Psalm 139. And then we'll also be going back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7. First then, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but lo, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And then over to the book of Joshua again. Joshua chapter 7. We pick up from the narrative that we had earlier today. After the defeat at Ai, we read that Israel has sinned, says God. And that's why they were turned back by their enemies. And therefore God now answers Joshua's prayer. We begin reading at verse 13. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the families which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So far the reading of God's word. You know, beloved, we could make things so difficult for ourselves. We can walk around for weeks, it seems, holding a grudge. I've had parents say to me, I just cannot forgive my son. I cannot do it. As far as I'm concerned, my son never has to bother to come home again. I don't want him. And that father could not sleep. And the mother had no happiness and no joy with that situation. It took all the joy right out of their life. But sometimes it takes years before fathers and mothers and that son or that daughter will finally turn and go to their loved ones and say, all right, let me be the least. I ask forgiveness. I have sinned. I can't sleep. And I certainly don't want to go to the grave with this. You know those situations. Achan had been found guilty. That man had sinned, and because of his sin, the army of Israel was defeated at Ai. And Joshua had been on his knees. Joshua had prayed fervently, and God told Joshua early in the morning, you have to call all of Israel together, and that lot has to fall. And that means that the one it falls upon is the guilty one. And by means of that Urim and Thummim, that's a white stone and a black stone, they use those to make decisions. In fact, they use those right into the New Testament era, interesting enough, until the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Then they didn't use those stones anymore. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, I digress. They use that to figure out which of the tribes and which family of the tribe. And finally, it came down to the tribe of Judah, to the clan of the Zerahites, to the family of Zimri, to the family of Achan, and finally into the hand of Achan himself. And there he stood, the smoking gun, so to speak. And now we would have expected Joshua to say, oh, Achan, you are the culprit. Achan, it's because of you that 36 people were killed in battle. Achan, you've taken all the honor of Israel away, and now the wrath of God is going to fall upon you, and you must be destroyed. You see, beloved, that's the idea we get when we hear about this story of Achan, when he had to be stoned, he and his whole family, and all that they had. We have the idea that when he was discovered, then immediately he was stoned to death, and Joshua must have been the one who cast the first stone. But I want to pay special attention with you now to our text. When Joshua saw Achan isolated, Achan with that head down, Achan with that telltale stone in his hand, Joshua walked up to him and said, Achan, my child. I didn't expect that. Listen, those who have difficulty with that speck of sawdust in somebody else's eye and pays no attention to that 2x4 in their own eyes, listen to Joshua. You who are filled with self-righteousness, now listen to what Joshua says. Joshua could have said, yeah, that's Achan, he's the guilty one, everybody get stones, kill him. But we read very beautifully in our text that Joshua took Achan aside. Joshua spoke to Achan, the Germans would call that unter vier Augen, under four eyes, one to one. Joshua kind of put his arm around Achan and said, Achan, my son. You ever think of it that way? That's beautiful. That sympathy, that's something that we have a hard time learning in our age. Because every one of us faces impossible situations, not just here, but elsewhere. doesn't make too much difference where we live. We see broken homes. We see mixed up lives. We see sons and daughters who can't get along with fathers and mothers. We see misery. It's so easy for us as a church to become very self-righteous and to have a bad word for the alcoholic and for the homosexual and for the divorced and for those that run away, and you just throw up your hands and say, oh, they're no good. You know, Joshua could have done that. I guess Joshua could have immediately picked up a stone and said, Achan, I hate you. Listen to the cries of those women who lost their husbands. Look at the dishonor that you brought upon Israel. Look at the misery you caused, Achan. But Joshua, the one who represented the great Joshua of the New Testament, who represented the great high priest, Jesus himself, when Joshua saw that wretched man and they retrieved that gold and that silver from his tent, and when he saw that man with that telltale stone in his hand, downcast, Joshua said, come on, why don't you step aside with me a minute? Keep that black stone in your hand, but come with me. Achan, my child. Now, I have to admit to you that before I studied this chapter, I didn't realize this exchange of words between Joshua and Achan actually took place. This was news to me. I had the idea that the moment that Achan was discovered, then Joshua says, this is it. Come on, everybody pick up a stone. I didn't know this was in the Bible. But it's good that it's here, because I want to emphasize this point. Today, we in a broken society in which we live, you see it every day. I see it, you do too. Every day, the ravages of sin in our homes, in our family, in our churches. Every day, we see that self-righteous anger. But tonight, I want to emphasize this about the pleading Joshua. The one who saw Achan. He was guilty. Yes, I know he was guilty. They all knew he was guilty. But Joshua, who came to him and said, now Achan, my son, now to God. Give glory to God, my son. Give him praise. Achan, accept that you've been found out. Accept that black stone. Please don't say now that God must have made a mistake and we need a recount. That somehow God had lied. It can't be me. It's got to be, we did this wrong. Achan, now give praise and glory to God. There is a way that's open for you. It's still 5 minutes to midnight, Achan. The door to God's heart is still wide open. Do you ever say that to your child? To that child who maybe has no use for their parents? To that child that runs away? To that child who is full of anger? To that child that blackens your name and brings grief to your home? The best thing you can say to that child is over and over again, please, my child, give glory to God. It's never too late. Go to God. And not just parents to children, children to parents too. And then we read that Achan opened up. He had the report card, that black stone. And he had those downcast eyes, and all of a sudden, Achan says to Joshua, yes, Joshua, I have sinned against the God of Israel. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful confession. That Achan could, still at this late time, admit before Joshua and before Israel and before the face of God, yes, God, I admit it. I have sinned against the God of Israel. Oh, I know, Achan could have said, I have sinned against Israel. I brought all that misery upon that defeated army. I should go now to all those 36 widows and those orphans, and I should talk to the general who was defeated in this battle, and I should make everything straight with them. But instead, Achan said, I have sinned against the God of Israel. I have stolen that which was sacrificed to the Lord, that which belonged to Him. I did not first seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. I was concerned about my kingdom. I was concerned about myself. I have sinned. I have rebelled. I have transgressed. I've crossed the line. That God who threw His arms of love all around His people, who brought His people up out of Egypt, the one who brought them to the promised land, who gave His people everything, that God I sinned against. That's beautiful. Blessed Achan. Blessed the person who could unburden himself. Blessed the person in the congregation who's big enough to put their arms around a man like Achan. Even though Achan had brought all that misery upon the people of God, blessed the man who's big enough to say, "Now, Achan, my child." The person who is willing to listen to an Achan as he confesses his sin. The church needs more people like that, beloved. More people who have that gift to listen. Big people. Big people who are not out to justify themselves like the self-righteous. The church needs big people who are not always out there trying to find the sin, but when they find it, say, "Oh, come on now, brother, sister, come. Come and confess." But when you think about the broken families in our community, when you think about the loneliness, when you think about the hatred, you think about the frustration, about all these people that have problems, and they finally say, "Well, where can I go? Who can I talk to?" They need to talk to you. They need to talk with me. And let's be big enough to listen to them. Because the world is absolutely full of those kind of people. Our families. It doesn't bypass our families either. The world is full of aching Achans, sorrowful people. Blessed the people. Blessed the congregation who is able to have a fair share of these people come to them and say, "I need to talk." And we will be ready to listen. "This is what I have done," said Achan. Now, confession is good for the soul, but it's also the most difficult work imaginable. Because you know what it means? If you really confess your sins, and you're willing to say before someone else, especially before God, "Look, God, this is what I have done." And then you have to replay that DVD, so to speak. And you see it all once again, and every word hurts. That must have been the most difficult task for Achan. Achan didn't just say, "Well, I've sinned against the Lord God, and I've done some bad things." He didn't say, like it's so popular, "Oh, my bad." No. No, Achan, with that report card in his hand, said, "And I'm willing to tell you, Joshua, I'm willing to tell you, Israel, I'm willing to tell you, God, step by step, what I have done." And our text is so graphic. Achan says, "I saw, I coveted, and I took." That, by way, is the triad of sin. Sin follows that pattern. I saw, I coveted, and I took. I saw. Oh, those eyes. Those eyes had seen so much. Those eyes had been in the wilderness for 40 years. Those eyes had seen nothing but stones and rock and wilderness and sand. And now, for the first time, something beautiful, something glittering, gold and silver, and that beautiful Babylonian garment. The eyes saw something, and the eyes were riveted on that gold and that silver and that garment. And then the heart began to covet. The heart began to say, "You know, and if I don't get that, I'm really not going to be happy. And then all of a sudden, God, church, neighbors, meant nothing because that soul was stuck on that gold and that silver and that garment. You see, beloved, that is the power of sin. You see, Achan didn't ask anymore, what is the price I'm going to have to pay for this? No, he saw and he coveted. And then the hand took. That hand touched the gold and the silver and the garment. All these things that were dedicated, and they knew. He knew. Everybody knew. These things were dedicated to God. We shouldn't get the idea that it all went very fast. Don't get the idea that he just saw it and then immediately his heart coveted and then immediately his hands reached out and took it. No, Achan was a child of God. He was a member of the believing community, at least. He was part of Israel. Achan knew that God wanted all of these spoils for him, for God. They were devoted to God. Achan knew that. And I can imagine that that hand first reached out and touched that gold and silver and then immediately withdrew. He might even have turned away from it and said, no, no, that's not for me. That's consecrated to the Lord. But you know how it goes, beloved. Achan touched it and then quickly pulled away. But then all of a sudden, there was that little voice next to him that said, oh, come on, go ahead. Who's it going to hurt? If you don't take it, somebody else will. After all, in an hour and a half, it's all going to be burned up and destroyed. Well, who's going to know what's going to be there? You deserve it, don't you? Your family deserves it, doesn't he? Don't they? After all, you love your family. You want the best for them. Your wife. Think of your wife. What a beautiful garment that would be for her. She deserves the best. She had to get by for so many years with so little. And now you can come home a hero with a beautiful garment. Go ahead, Achan. Go ahead. Take it. I've been in that position. You have too. That's how the devil operates, you know. He doesn't change his playbook. It's not just a quick triad, seeing, coveting, taking. No, it takes time. The devil works on that slowly. You ever see those bug lights in summer? Love them. Little bugs flying around. All of a sudden they get a little closer. Love it. They don't go right away to it. No, they have to fly around a little bit and figure, what does this say? Hey, it looks pretty good. Well, I wonder if I get a little... That's how sin works. Oh, it really can't be that, but, well, maybe, who'd notice? Who'd care? And all of a sudden, that which you didn't want to do, you did. You see, Achan said, I saw, and I coveted, and I took. And I was going to bring that gold and that silver and that garment to my family. I was going to give them everything, except an example of godly obedience. I was going to make them all happy, but without God. Didn't really think about him. And now he stands there with that telltale black stone in his hand, and all Achan can say is, I've sinned against the God of Israel because I saw and I coveted and I took. Achan was touched to the heart and he was broken. Is that the end? I have sinned against the God of Israel. Beloved, who is that God? Who is that God of Israel which our passage talks about today? The God of Joshua, the God of Achan, your God. Who is he? He is the one who said to Achan, he is the one who says to those little girls walking the streets of New York City and Vancouver and Seattle, to those boys who are selling their bodies on the streets of San Francisco, to those 13 and 14 year olds who have taken away everything that God had given them in the first place. God is saying to all of us, I am the God who said, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cleanses all of us of our sins. Achan was at the right address. Have you been there? You with your grudges, you who just cannot forgive, you who cannot identify with people like Achan, have you ever been so close so that God could say to you these words and you'd really now hear them? Now come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Can you hear that? He says it yet today. That's the gracious invitation that God gives us. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to hear today the voice of your Spirit through your word. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Joshua, the God of Achan, the God who says to us, no matter what has taken place, no matter what kind of sin you've fallen into and gotten yourself involved with, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, Father, help us to hear that today. And help us to be those big people that can put their arm around others and let them confess as well that we have a God who hears and who answers such prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.